October 30th, 1989. Virginia Maxfield interviewed by Kay Daigle, Heather Holland, and Martin.
Where were you born?
I was born in Huntington Beach.
Oh, okay. What was your dad doing? What was your family doing?
My dad was working for the oil companies, and he had worked in Taft and Maricopa.
Yeah.
Then he went down to Texas. Then he came back here in 1921, and the oil boom hit in Huntington Beach and Signal Hill. And we moved into a campground because there was no housing in Huntington Beach. And I was born in January of 1922. And luckily, they got a house just before I was born, and I was born at home, because in those days, they didn't think you needed a hospital unless you were sick.
Right.
And we lived there until 1928. Then we moved to Long Beach.
How did your dad get involved with the oil business?
He got in it as a very young boy, back in about 1906 or 7. And he quit school in the 8th grade and went to work. And he stayed with it from then on. He was a roughneck, and then he became a driller, which was quite a title in those days. And he continued that through the Depression. And in 1938, he had a job, but he decided to go in business for himself. And he rented a place in Signal Hill, in the 2600 block on St. Louis. And he was there for several years, and then he was able to purchase a going business on Cherry, and to get that location at the 2856 Cherry Avenue address.
Did he get started in the oil business in San Joaquin Valley or in Texas? Or?
He started in, his first jobs were in Colingo, Taft, and Maricopa.
Yes.
And then he came back down around into this area, and then he went on back down to Texas, and did those boom towns, and then came back to Huntington Beach.
And do you remember living in Huntington Beach? Or?
Well, yes, I was 6 years old when we moved from there. I remember it was an all-day trip to Long Beach in a Model T Ford. It was such a long trip for me as a little kid. I'd fall asleep and sleep in the back seat of the car.
And did he work in Long Beach while he was in Signal Hill?
Yes, he went to work here in Signal Hill soon after he, in 22, when the oil really got going here in Signal Hill. He came to Signal Hill and worked here. And also then he ended up in the Wilmington field,
yeah,
Wilmington area.
Did he work as a roughneck in those days?
He was a driller by then.
And who did he work for?
He worked for, wish I could remember all the companies, Dabney Johnson was one of them, Bolsa Chica Oil Company. Then he worked for some, when he was in the northern part of the state, he up around Taft, Maricopa, and some of those areas, he worked for Union Oil. And then things got really bad down here for work, and he went up to the Ventura area, and then he went on up to Gwinda, which I think is near San Francisco. And the family stayed here. We had our home here, and there were four of us kids at that time. My mother stayed here. My dad went up there and worked for a while.
Which number of child were you?
I'm the baby of the family.
So, your brothers and sisters were born before?
Yes.
And were they born in Huntington Beach?
They were born in Delano, right out of Bakersfield. Mm-hmm. Before I came on the scene.
Okay, so you moved to Signal Hill, or to Long Beach, which?
Mm-hmm. Long Beach. In 1928.
And where did you live?
He lived the 3500 block on Lemon. And my dad died in January of 88, and he still lived there. He'd lived there 60 years in that same house.
There seems to be a number of kind of oil people who've lived in California Heights for a long time. Kind of striking things about the area. Mm-hmm. Okay, you lived on Lemon. Did you start school then?
Yes.
In Long Beach?
Uh-huh. I went to school at Longfellow, which was up on Wardlow and Myrtle until the earthquake in 33, and then they moved it. But when I went there, it was on Wardlow.
Mm-hmm.
And then I rode the bus to Franklin for 3 years, and then I rode the bus to Polly for 3 years. And by the way, when we moved to California Heights in 1928, the streets weren't paved. There were no streets, no sidewalk, curb, or gutter, no street lights. And when I went to Poly, they used to talk about how we lived way out in the country. All the other kids thought we lived so far away.
Your dad, tell me some more details about what your dad did. He worked as a driller for other oil companies.
For oil companies, yes. He was just a laborer, and they would when they would drill these oil wells, they would call him up, and he'd put a crew together.
Right.
He would hire the tool pusher and the roughnecks, and then he kept in touch with a lot of men that were available. And they didn't have a regular job. They didn't work for a certain company. They worked for a lot of these kind of wildcatters and people that would get enough money together to drill an oil well, which there was a lot of in Signal Hill. And he had a lot of brothers and relatives and in-laws, neighbors that were always after a job. And we were one of the few people that had a telephone back then, but they would get to a phone and call him to see if he knew of any jobs.
Were there other people in his family that then that worked in the oil
Yes,
business?
Some of his brothers did too. And then when times got really tough and there was no drilling, he had an old truck and he bought oranges and apples from the produce house, and he'd get these men to work with him, and they'd go out with buckets door to door and sell oranges and apples.
That
uh-huh. That was when things were really tough and there just was no drilling going on. And these people all need to make some money, and my dad's always had a thing about being able to figure out some way to make a living, and which I think was pretty good because he only had an eighth grade education, and though he worked really hard at these different things, he ended up left pretty good estate. So it was just through very hard work. In 1938, he rented this old building. I think he paid $11 a month rent on St. Louis for this old building, and it was about a quarter of an acre in this building. And he bought valves, used valves from some of the big oil companies, would scrap them out. He would bring them there. He had what they call an oakite tank, and he'd build a wood fire under it and boil them clean and redo the valves and recondition them. And he had a couple of people who helped him a great deal. One of them was a man who worked for a big company, and whenever they'd scrap out stuff, he'd call my dad, and it really helped my dad get started, and that was John Phillips. And I don't even know which company he worked for, but he worked for a large oil firm. And that was before John Phillips went into business and then ended up doing the same thing my dad did, because my dad started with the valves. Then when he moved on to Cherry, he went into pipe and all kinds of oil field equipment, and then there were several people who did this. Elmer Lovelady started a business down the street on Cherry that was used oil field equipment or supply company, they called them. And my dad's was called Robert S. Moore Oil Well Supply. Another one was Dick Mitchell, Decatur Mitchell's father.
Mm-hmm.
They were all old-time oil workers that had worked in oil fields. They all knew each other. Frank Vessels had Offco Construction, and then later he got out of that and went into the racetrack thing. But before that, he was an old-time oil worker like my dad, and like Dick Mitchell. Elmer Lovelady. Uh-huh.
Because there's a part of the oil field.
I don't know if that has any connection with that family or not. I know Elmer has a daughter about my age, and her name is Elsie. And I don't know, her husband died and she remarried, so I don't know her new name. I wouldn't know how to get in touch with her. But she worked for her dad just like I worked for mine. So that would be a source of information if you could locate her. They were on the corner of 33rd and Cherry. It's where they're selling, Bragg sells deer cranes now. I think that's McCreight's property or the city of Long Beach, I'm not sure. It's on that corner.
Okay.
is where Love Lady was.
What do you remember as a kid as Signal Hill looking like when you were growing up?
Well, of course, before the war, it was so spotty, the houses in California Heights and in Signal Hill. I could hear blocks away. I could tell whether my dad was coming home, or when I got to be 16, I could hear my boyfriend about three blocks away. I could tell whether it was Model A or an old Chevy. It was so sparse. There just was nothing around there in the late 30s. And most all the kids in our classes, their dads worked in oil fields too. That was our biggest industry around here that I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Until the war. Then things changed, and Douglas was built, and we have a lot of other things now, and the shipyards were built up.
Yeah. What kind of stuff did you do for recreation when you were in school?
We were active in our church was the big thing. We all went to California Heights Methodist Church, at least most of my friends did. We were very active in that, and the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, the Brownies, and the Campfire Girls were all active. Now I don't see much of that anymore.
Okay.
I noticed in the paper the other day that a woman died who had been very active, a very old lady that had been very active with the Girl Scouts. Her name was Captain Buckley, and I remembered her well. She had a real impact on my life. She was a wonderful woman, and I just saw in the paper her obituary the other day.
What kind of things did you do in the Girl Scouts that have had an impact?
Oh, we worked on our badges, and we had outings and things. We used to go right up here by what's now Park Estates. There was a natural channel ran through there with a bunch of old willow trees, and we used to call it the Willows. And we went on what we thought at the time, I think I was 12 or 13, we thought it was a big weekend. We all rode our bicycles out to the Willows and spent the night. And that was one of the things that the Girl Scouts did that I remembered. Another thing, we were very active in the YWCA down on 6th and Pacific. That was there were so few things in those days. To go to a show was a big event to us because that meant money. And so most of our pleasures were things that we just involved ourselves in enjoyment.
So I guess what I'm hearing you say about the YWCA is that sometimes you also went downtown.
Oh yeah, we rode the bus, cost a nickel each way, and we would ride the bus down for the, especially in the summertime, we always signed up for a complete summer program, and we'd take, in those days, the little girls all took tap, toe, and ballet. That's what we called it. And acrobatics, toe, and ballet, or something like that. But anyway, it was fun, and they had swimming, and but a lot of my friends from Signal Hill went there. The only friends I had that didn't work, their dads didn't work in the oil fields. I had two friends who, one of them, her dad worked for the water department up there on Walnut and Wardlow, and the other one, her dad worked for the telephone company. But most all of my friends, their dads were oil workers. It seemed like our whole community was made up of oil workers, except those two people.
Did you do things like go to the park or go to the beach?
In the summertime when we got older, our older teens, we started going to the beach. And we used to ride the bus down to the beach. Mm-hmm. But we didn't surf. Never heard of such a thing as surfing. We had a kind of a surfboard thing, but it was nothing like we have today. And we didn't have a breakwater, and we had beautiful breakers.
Yeah. It's hard to think about how to explain that to people today.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful photograph. Your dad went into the valve reconditioning business, and then he went into all kinds of oil field equipment. Is that what he continued doing it?
He continued doing that right up until just a few years ago when he sold out.
And when did you graduate from high school, and did you then go to work for him?
No, I got married, and I moved out to Compton for a couple of years. And when the war broke out, I got a job, a defense-type job. And then in 49, I went to work for my dad.
Had you worked while you were growing up?
No. Not until the war came along, I didn't go to work. And I went to work in about 42.
And what about your mother?
My mother assisted my dad by doing the bookkeeping for a while, but she really was not a bookkeeper. And it soon, the business got too big, she couldn't handle it, so they hired help. And then in 49, the girl my dad had for full-time bookkeeping left. I don't know whether he let her go or she quit or what, but anyway, he needed somebody else. Well, by then I'd gone to a business school and I'd had some experience, so I came to work for him, and I worked for him from then on.
Where did she really come from? Was she also?
My mother is a native, was born in Los Angeles. Her father was with Union Oil, and her mother was a cook for Union Oil in one of the oil field places in up in around Taft in Maricopa. She ran the cookhouse, and she did that up until later years. She didn't do that when my mother was little. And my grandfather, my mother's father, was born in Riverside. He came out when the Mormons were sent out here to build the railroad, and he was built soon after his mother and dad arrived here. So I'm a third generation Californian.
Yeah. So what were their names?
My father's, my grandfather's name was Slosson, S-L-O-S-S-O-M, which is an old name in Signal Hill also, and William, his name was William or Bill Slosson, and my grandmother's name was Ola, O-L-A, and my mother was Grace.
Who was Slosson?
O.M. Slosson was my uncle, my mother's brother, and he used to have one of the biggest truck lines, oil transport truck lines in Signal Hill, when they used to haul it by truck. He had big trucks. Then he invested in some oil wells over in what they call the Wilmington Field, and he hit it big. He died in
72. Yeah, you said your dad's brothers were also.
They were just laborers that my dad would hire to work on these.
What did they do when he went into the supply business?
Oh, they still did different things, you know. But they worked all around Signal Hill all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They never went in business for themselves. Mm-hmm. None of his brothers did.
But did they, like, live around California Heights and Signal Hill?
And it was
sort of an extended
uh-huh.
family.
Yes, they did. Uh-huh. One of them lived on Gundry, 3500 block on Gundry. His name was Jack. And then my dad had another brother named Bill. And he, when things got to where he couldn't get work in the oil fields, he went to work for the 20 Mule Team Borax Company. I don't know what the right name is for that, but he went to work for them until he retired.
Yeah. So did you have cousins that you grew up with?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Now, Otis Lawson, my uncle that had this the trucking company, he has a son named Clifford Slosson, who still handles their business things. I don't know if they still own oil production or not, and I don't know that they own anything in this area. I know they own a lot of real estate in Signal Hill. Then he went up to the Tejon Ranch on the Ridge Route and did pretty well up there too. And I think they might still have that, but I'm not sure. Clifford has an office on California and Willow, just south of Willow. Now, he might be able to fill you in, too. I always feel like he's just a kid, but he's probably, I think, maybe 10 years younger than I am.
Yeah.
But to me, he was a kid.
Yeah. He was growing up, that's a long time.
Uh-huh, yes, it is.
What did your brothers and sisters do?
My brother Bill had an oil well service company. He was he worked in oil fields all his life in Huntington Beach, Signal Hill, and then eventually he got this oil well service business in Wilmington. And he serviced a lot of the wells in Signal Hill. And he's now retired and lives in Fraser Park.
And
my other brother was unable to work. He was crippled. And my sister worked for a little while for my dad.
And did she marry someone in the oil business?
No. No.
You said you, after high school, you married Mr. Maxfield.
No.
No, you married, okay.
I married someone else.
Okay. But you moved to Compton.
Yes. And I lived there until after the war.
And but you said you got a job in the...
I worked for McClatchy Manufacturing in Compton, and they produced some kind of neoprene things that I don't know really what they were for, whether they were for the oil fields or for defense. They don't tell you what it is. They just had big contracts to make this molded rubber-type products. I don't know really what it was, but I worked in the office there.
And
Did I do what now?
What kind of work did you do?
I did bookkeeping.
And did you study that at college?
No, I took a course at the Long Beach Business College. I forget. I think it was called Long Beach Secretarial College. I took a course there. I spent a year on that. My dad sent me. He paid my expenses and gave me enough money for the babysitter so I could go, because there weren't any good jobs right after the war, unless you had some specialty, and I was just kind of, I'd learned kind of clerk-like how to do bookkeeping, but I'd never had formal training, so I took that course for a year there at the business college. And then after that, I came to work for him.
Okay, so when you worked at McClatchy, you just did kind of clerk stuff?
Yes.
And college didn't have a bookkeeping program?
Oh, they had it, but I wasn't too interested in anything. When I went to high school, I just went because I had to. I really kind of wasted my time. I wasn't a good student.
But did you have a good time?
Oh, yes, I had a wonderful time. One thing I did, I got my credits in 2.5 years because I wanted to get out of school, and my mother told me I had to stay till I graduated. So instead of taking a study hall, I would take another subject, and I went 1 year, I went to summer school and was able to get my credits so that I got out a little quicker that way, because I wanted to get married. And that didn't work out. It blew up on account of the war. I believe if there had not been a war, I would have still been married. But it didn't work out.
Okay, so you worked for the factory, you went to business college for a year, and then you came to work for your dad. And he was on St. Louis or on Cherry by then?
He was on Cherry by then. He bought a going business called the Four Drillers, and it was four men who were drillers that had gone together in a business, and then they ran this business for a while, and it was a supply house of oil field equipment and things, and then for one reason or another, one of them made some money, and he didn't want to work anymore, and some of them wanted to move and different things. It wasn't good as a four-way partnership anymore, and the accountant that my dad was using then told him that he thought he could make him a good deal. And this accountant's name was Bill Knapp, K-N-A-P-P. And he was a nice man. And he helped a lot of people around, like, doing things like this. And he made a deal so that my dad could buy that business, which he bought the building and all of the supplies that were in it and took over their lease on the property.
Mm-hmm.
And he got this for $6,000, which at the time, my dad thought was a tremendous amount of money. That was in the very late 30s. He didn't know if he should go into debt like that or not. That was a tremendous amount of money. But he did do it. My mother encouraged him to go ahead. She said, you always wanted to be in business for yourself, and you've been wanting to get on Cherry, so now's the time. Let's take a chance. So they did. And it was the greatest thing he ever did. But this Bill Knapp is the one who worked it out for him. He had to put no money down. He had to pay them out of what he could make. As he sold the stuff that he bought from them, Mm-hmm. He was to pay them off, and he paid it off very quickly. It just worked out wonderful for him. It was a good deal. And in those days, business was done with a handshake. There was nothing written up, except he got a title to the building. But all that equipment and stuff, they just said, okay, Bob, and that was it. It was wonderful.
Do you know who the Floyd Willis was?
I really don't. I can kind of remember him. I remembered one man's name was Icard, I-C-A-R-D. And that's the only one I remember. And then there was a man who'd been their employee named Redmond. And he used to come there and talk with my dad occasionally. But I don't really know the rest of the people.
Why was it important to you on Cherry Avenue?
Well, that was kind of Rodeo Drive to the oil fields, you see. And at that time, Cherry was a real narrow road. It was just one lane each way. And no curb or anything. And the buildings were built right out to the street. And they were high. They were like 3 to 5 feet high so that a truck could just back into them and unload. They were like warehouses with wooden, 2 to 12 wooden floors. And then later on, that building was moved over and set way back because they were going to widen the street. And they may have put it way back, I think 60 feet back. And later, that's the building my husband and I bought. But we used to say when they moved that building, it was in 1960. They'll never widen this street in our lifetime. Well, they did. They did. The late 70s, they did widen that street. Made a beautiful thoroughfare out of it.
Yeah.
Cavens was across the street when we moved there. And when my dad moved there, Paul Cavens had that business. And it was a little shack like... they used to have real estate offices like that, and I think maybe that's what this had been, that they moved in there. It was a little room, probably not more than 10 feet square, and it sat right out on the street. And right there on Cherry, the street slopes quite a bit, and a truck got away one time, and it ran down there and ran right through that office. And nobody happened to be in it at the time. But then after that, they built a new office back a few feet.
Yeah, but considering its size, it must
have really rained. Yeah, just crushed it. That was the end of it. We've seen many trucks go down through the years. We've seen cars and trucks. People don't realize what a hill. They think it's level out there, that part of Cherry, but it isn't. Because if you stand on the street and look, you can see it goes right up like that. Quite a slope down to, clear down to Wardlow. It slopes down.
Who else was along Cherry? Who was next door?
There was a guy called Lyons, Nim Lyons, who ran a business on the corner of 28th and Cherry, where Mack Truck just moved out. He was there for a long time. And then the Lane brothers had a welding place between Nim Lyons and my dad. There was Lane Welding. And then there was... we rented. My dad had this big old building, had several offices in it, so to help him pay off this indebtedness, he rented some of the back rooms because we had a lot of land around where you could park trucks and things, and that's what a lot of these small businessmen needed. And there were so many people that were just, they ran all kinds of little businesses. And there were some rig builders called O'Meara and Rogers. They rented an office from Dad. And later on, when they got a little more successful and they needed a little more office space and one thing or another, they moved across the street to it was really an old house that was just south of Cavens. And they moved in there. Then there was a man had another thing, some kind of a desander, which is another process in the oil field. And that was called McGaffey Taylor. They also rented an office. And then as they got a little more successful, they moved a few blocks away and got a bigger place. And by then, my dad took over these, and we never rented to anyone else. But there were many people who had small businesses, like these rig builders had quite a business going, because they used to build wooden barracks. And that was quite an art, to build it. They used those big, heavy timbers and great big spike nails and stuff. And those rig builders were very husky, strong. They weren't just a household carpenter. They did heavy, heavy work. And then, of course, the steel rigs came in and took over, and that stopped that old type of rig building.
I think so. Did they still